Hi, everybody. My name is Cody. I'm your friendly neighborhood dungeon master.
Oh, f***ing dungeon master, motherfucker.
And welcome to our recap of episodes 1 through 20 of Brothel D&D. This idea was born off of the Facebook page, as some of you may or may not know. We've been running Dungeons & Dragons as part of a live play on the Rancor's Brothel for some time now. We've done 20 episodes since late February, and I felt like that's a lot of content. We're talking about almost 24 full hours of audio, and, you know, not a lot of people are going to jump in. I'm sort of considering these first 20 episodes as a nice little end cap. It encompasses three major sections of the game that we're playing. And so I thought for people who might have fallen off the bandwagon, or people who are interested but don't want to go back and listen to the last 20 hours, 22 hours, whatever it is of audio, I thought that I would give them a nice little synopsis of what's happened. So the first half of this show, I'm just going to introduce the game and the characters and sort of the basis of Dungeons and Dragons and how we're playing this game, what a live play actually is. And then the second half will be full of spoilers, everything that's happened in the game thus far. So if you're interested in Dungeons and Dragons, if you're interested in playing games, if you're interested in listening to Brothel D&D, which comes out every other week, sometimes more often, depending on our scheduling and broadcast, then I encourage you to listen to the next 20 minutes or so, and we'll go over exactly what this game is and how we play it. You might notice I'm going to use the wonders of audio editing here to throw in a couple of fun things along the way, and we'll just explain it to you. Each group that I've ever played role-playing games with has a certain personality and flair. So not only are you going to get the facts of what's going on, but you get an idea for who we are and what we're doing. So come along with me and we'll learn more about the game. And away we go.
Engage.
The Rancor's Brothel.
What the f*** is going on?
So Brothel D&D was really my brainchild. I'm a big fan of role-playing games, and there was a lot of interest in and amongst both the fans of the Rancor's Brothel and those who were on the podcast frequently to play, to be involved. Role-playing games facilitate a certain bit of imagination and gameplay that you can't find anywhere else, and I really wanted to bring that experience to my buddies who, you know, we work on the show together, but also to the fans. The nice thing is since it's such an imagination-based game, we don't need video of it. You don't need to see us playing it. It's almost like a radio role-playing. You can just sit back and imagine what's going on just as we are around the table. Fifth edition was chosen specifically, in part because it's new, but also it varies a lot from previous editions. First edition D&D is very, very simplistic. Second edition is when the number crunching really became a big thing. Third edition is what I grew up playing, which is you're really able to visualize and play the game in a 3D space unlike before. Fourth edition was a terrible mistake. I'm sorry for any fans out there, but it was. I say that because they took away a lot of the core role-playing elements that I really enjoyed and turned it into more of a board game. If you play the board games from that time, it's not the flair, there's not the creativity, the imagination that, in my opinion, is one of the best parts about a role-playing game. Fifth edition really focuses on role-playing. It eliminates a lot of the extemporaneous rules that you got in third edition, and it allows you to get back to what the game is supposed to be for me, the essence of it, which is to play with your friends and create these interesting moments. As you can tell, listening back through the episodes, this is the first time for a lot of guys, so you hear a lot of different things going on, a lot of learning.
I don't do math. I'm a f***ing art student.
Now, you may be curious as to why I'm playing this game with complete noobs, guys who have never played before. And I think it provides two fascinating opportunities. One, to introduce people to the game, which is what I love.
I feel like there's a flaw in the system here.
Yeah, he's being a f**khole.
And two, it allows this to become a teaching moment.
What the f*** section do I need to look under?
While you guys are listening and enjoying and following along, you're also learning, which I think is one of the best parts about this, is if you do listen to this, you're going to pick up stuff about the game.
Well, how'd the other ones die outright when I hit them with took five points?
Okay.
So well, he's only been dealt four.
Yeah. Mother f***er, man.
Math is hard.
Let's talk a little bit about setting in Horde of the Dragon Queen. It is a two-part campaign, the second half being called The Rise of Tiamat. The entire campaign takes place in Faerun, which you, if you are a fan of Dungeons & Dragons, is the setting of Forgotten Realms. So if you've seen anything about Baldur's Gate or the Icewind Dale trilogy, any of those games, Shadows of Om, these are all the locations. It primarily takes place on the Sword Coast. And as you will find out a little bit later, the characters start out in a little town called Greenest. Now, you don't need to be familiar with these locations whatsoever in order to listen.
I don't know the monetary system of fucking Baldur's Gate.
So now that we've done rule set and touch base on what the world is and kind of what it looks like, let's discuss characters. Seated across from me at the table is Lucas, and Lucas plays Yaz, the albino drow fighter.
I love how your name is a birth control pill. I want to throw that out there. I like to be safe.
Now, drow are dark elves that live underground and typically are considered, for the most part, evildoers. Yaz is no exception, having a very violent past. He murdered his mother and then escaped judgment to the surface, where he's been traveling about as kind of a mercenary.
What kind of gangbanger fucking drow are you, man?
He dual-wields scimitars, and he's well-known for taking out anything that happens to stand in the party's way.
Am I the only one counting my kills?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, seated right next to Lucas is good old fact-checker Troy, and Troy plays Xander Darkwood, the half-elf paladin. Xander's a bit more standoffish than the rest of the party, and known to differ in his opinions of what should be done by them.
I, with my warhammer, want to bash that door down.
Oh, God.
These differences in opinion do, of course, lead to some unpleasant confrontations amongst the group.
I turn around and smack them, numb in the head with my shield.
Xander is stout of heart, though, and remains dedicated to protecting himself and his fellow party members. He's often the eloquent voice of reason amongst the group.
In the nest of the tree?
What?
At the head of the table sits Matt, who plays Zebul Seabane, a human cleric who worships the dark goddess of the seas. Being a former sailor and truly the only religious member of the group, Zebul is a bit different from the other guys.
You know, I was willing to try it before they paid me to do it.
Since he does in fact worship a dark goddess, his spell selection is often deadly, but leaves something to be desired as far as a traditional cleric is concerned.
What kind of suck-ass cleric doesn't have healing spells?
No shit.
At the end of the day, though, Zebul is committed to his fellow party members and is always known for hitting his mark with those deadly thunder spells.
I can't believe that f***ing spell.
The party is rounded out by Jeff, who plays the gnome Bernard Picklebritches. Picklebritches, though the smallest in stature, is known for his commanding presence in the group.
Cleric, see to the wounded, you two, get up on the fucking wall.
Though some would consider him the de facto leader of the party, Picklebritches is also known for his more amusing aspects.
You see the gnome rolling around on the ground laughing outside.
Yeah. See, this is Picklebritches being a f***head.
These gnomish pranks sometimes lead to the amusement of the party.
Cold out. Nope, just really small.
And other times irritate them incessantly.
Continue. Somebody put their hand over the gnome's mouth.
Now that you've been introduced to the Brothel D&D group, I'd like to warn you that I'm going to summarize the first 20 episodes. If you'd like to go back and listen, great. We'd love to have you listen to it as it unfolds. If so, be warned, there are spoilers ahead. Otherwise, prepare yourselves for a nice synopsis of the first 20 episodes of Brothel D&D, Horde of the Dragon Queen.
Last
20
time on Brothel D&D.
Our story begins on the road as the characters head west as part of a caravan in the direction of Om. Late one evening, they crest a hill to see Greenest, the first town that they have seen in several weeks, burning below them. In an effort to aid the poor survivors down below, they rush into town. Unbeknownst to them, the burning is being caused by a large blue dragon, which proceeds to strafe the caravan and destroy and kill almost everyone.
Where are my keys?
Are you leaving?
I'm getting ready to die, so.
The characters survive, but are forced to run into the battle-raged town in order to stay away from the blue dragon. Once in town, they encounter a number of dragon emblem-wearing cultists. The characters find themselves forced to fight these cultists as they rush towards the keep, the only fortified position in town. Once they arrive there, they meet Governor Nighthill, who recognizes them as seasoned adventurers. He begs for their help in defending his townfolk from this horrible cult. The players agree and soon venture several times out into the ravaged city of Greenest in order to save its townsfolk. Through several daring raids out into Greenest, they manage to accomplish a number of tasks, including saving a group of people holed up in the local temple. They also manage to capture one of the cultists and interrogate him.
Somebody take off his boot.
Okay.
I'm still holding him. Boot. You got his boot?
Yeah.
Okay. Cut off one of his toes.
With some success.
I'll cornhole his mother in front of him.
Fuck this asshole.
I'm in this game to win.
Though not everyone was pleased with the group's methods.
He's dead.
Hey, you're welcome. Cool.
Xander, can you find it in your heart to forgive?
No.
They also mount a successful defense of the keep from both the attacking army and the blue dragon. As dawn approaches, it seems that the characters in the town will be safe, but the cult organizes on the cliffside. A dragonborn emerges from the crowd and begs for one-on-one combat in exchange for the lives of some hostages that they have taken. Zebul Seabane agrees to meet this man in one-on-one combat.
And tomorrow I'm going to make a wizard.
But he finds himself bested by the dragonborn. Afterwards, the cult turns and marches into the wilderness with their stolen loot, and they leave the town and the champions to lick their wounds. After a long rest and being healed of their injuries, the characters return to speak with Nighthill. He, of course, is focused on rebuilding the town, but is terrified that the cultists may return to attack Greenest once more. To that end, the governor asks that the party go out after the cult and perform a recon mission to see where they're hiding and just what their next plans might be. Though it does take some convincing and not an unreasonable amount of coin, the adventurers agree and stock up on supplies to head out into the wilderness.
10-day rations.
Arrows.
That's true.
I believe the arrows come with it, right?
No.
No, they don't. When you buy a gun, you don't get bullets for free.
As the party makes their way out of town, they are approached by a young monk. He informs them that his master, Leosin Erlanthar, was captured by the raiders the night before. He begs them to attempt to find the monk, as he was investigating the cult to begin with. The characters reluctantly agree and promise to be on the lookout for him as they track the cultists into the wilderness. After several hours of travel, the group discovers that a rear guard of cultists has been left to dispatch any followers. They prove to be an easy challenge for the party, however, who dispatch them without any word of their presence being sent on to the main host. As night falls, the characters descend upon a horseshoe canyon where the hundreds of cult members are settling down after a long day of destruction. Forced to disguise themselves in order to get around, the party filtered through the sleeping camp in search of Leosin.
Prison? Some sort of prison? Are they keeping captives?
Luckily, the majority of the cult and the mercenaries were celebrating their win from the night before.
You want to take it up with me? Let's go!
And the party found it easy going. In a short time, they were able to find Leosin. However, the ambush drakes guarding the monk were much more awake than their drunken human counterparts.
Yeah, so this went well.
In a terrifying flight from an alerted camp, the heroes scrambled up the sheer cliff face, climbing 100 feet to safety behind concealing spells. Pushing their bodies to the limit, they march back to town at a grueling pace, escaping the dragon cult's clutches once more.
I'm assuming that our day's almost over, so we're going to be long resting anyways.
You hope.
Having returned with the valuable intel for Governor Nighthill and brought back Leosin, the adventurers thought that their job was done. However, it wasn't long after that Leosin summoned them to his bedside where he lay recovering from his injuries. Using persuasion as well as good gold coin, Leosin convinced the party to return to the raiders' camp. He said he had heard tale of a location the cult called the Hatchery, and was concerned that they might be raising dragons inside that camp. With some reluctance, the characters returned.
Let's go to the vagina cave! Fuck yeah!
Almost immediately after entering the cave, however, the party began to infight.
No, I'm refusing to play in your reindeer games.
Soon separating at a fork in the road. The path chosen by the majority of the party led to a barracks location, and it was contemplated whether or not to attack those sleeping within.
Will you care, Troy? You're not there.
However, they were soon dispatched easily and quietly, and the party continued into the next room, where they found a secret passage leading deeper into the cave.
You guys want to go down the hall?
I mean, well, you want to wait for his vote?
No. If the three of us agree, then we don't need his vote.
Party soon realized their mistake, however, when they descended into a large cavern containing Mondath, the leader of the cult, Cyanrath, the half-dragon that they had fought before, and a number of large brutes.
Oh, shit. Did we just skip the whole freaking dungeon?
Without question, battle ensued.
Hope and pray he misses.
No, if he misses, I can't do it.
Hope and pray he hits you slightly. Ever so slightly. Just a love tap to the cheek.
After a hard and challenging fight, they chase Mondath off, but manage to kill the rest in the room. Unfortunately, the echoes of many footfalls came from the stairway which she had ascended.
This may turn into We Run Like Hell.
The players were happily surprised, however, to only encounter a handful of kobolds. After the second combat, they were able to better inspect the room in which they found themselves. The cavern walls were lined with frescoes of black dragons, and a large ornate chest sat off to the corner of the room.
There's a chest in a room that is very ornate. The fucker's probably trapped.
After opening the booby trap chest, they discovered a number of valuable objects left behind. That, combined with the data they found in Mondath's bedchamber, provided them with the information they sought. However, they still had yet to find any hatchery. The party continued to delve deeper into the cavern in order to find the eggs, and it wasn't long after that they did so.
Oh, I'm not going down.
Go down and get me a goddamn egg.
They also found a number of terrifying creatures guarding them. Unfortunately for the exuberant Pickle Britches, he didn't see some of the dangers that the others did.
Looks good to me!
Get yourself a character sheet, because you're done.
However, with some quick thinking and a silver tongue, he was able to escape the trap relatively easily.
You egg-stealing motherfucker.
And so with the egg, the party ascended back to the surface.
You see black dragons flying over... No, you don't.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The look on you guys' faces.
That is not funny.
And with that less than humorous end, we conclude episode 20. If you have listened to this, you should have a good background and ought to be able to start with episode 21, which should be out in a little over a week. While I've got you here, I'd like to encourage you to listen to some of our other podcasts and live plays that you can find. A number of Call of Cthulhu's that we've done, as well as the Monophobias, are very popular. As always, we'd love for you to write on the Facebook page to get in touch with us, to share, like, subscribe, give us a review on iTunes. Those are all great. This recap show is the first of a bit of new content that I'd like to add to our show, so hopefully this will encourage people to listen, to pick up on some stuff, and to join us as we roleplay. Thanks for listening.